Are you ready? It's time for another great infotaining show filled with power-packed business and life information. Welcome to Your Future Is Now with your host, Jim Grant, and co-host, Don McGrath. Want to know how you can become an author or a speaker or build your own online business? Maybe it's reaching a level of success in your life that you deserve. Their show is designed to provide information to assist you towards your success and destiny. Each week, Jim and Don will interview a special guest and share exciting lessons. So grab a pen and paper. Take some notes. Thanks for joining the show. Now, here's Jim.
And welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Your Future Is Now is proudly sponsored by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. And today, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat because we've got a gentleman who's a great friend of ours, Dr. Ted Groner here. He's going to be talking about some things we don't normally like to talk about, like going to the dentist, but he's going to share some great news with us about how to be proactive rather than reactive. Most importantly, how you can get a procedure done like on wisdom teeth. He may share some knowledge about implants, but most importantly, the thing we really want when we go to a dentist, we want less pain and we want a faster recovery. And that is why he is here, because if you've ever had a toothache, and I've had one before, it is not fun. So we're going to be very excited about letting him share his knowledge with you. But also, too, I'm joined today by Mr. Bill Heinrich. He's the honorary host here on the radio show here. I do 5 TV shows a week, folks, so sometimes I goof up a little bit. We're on E360 TV. But Mr. Bill Heinrich, he is a gentleman that has written a book called 7 Levels of Truth. He also has a free ebook. Clarity Has No Story. You can get your free ebook copy at myfreebook.me. M as in Mike, E as in Echo. So, Mr. Bill, welcome to the stage, there, brother.
Hey, Jim, how are you today?
Doing good, doing good.
We're very excited. I have a new book coming out.
Oh, okay.
A little bit later this month. It's a collaboration called Soulful Leadership. I'll let you know more. I'm going to be getting that set up more next week. I'll let everybody know about it then. But it's a group of soulful leaders, and we've all collaborated to put a book together. It's really good.
That sounds real good, because we'll also want to let folks know that on the TV show. But today, we got a good friend of ours. We've known Ted for several years, and he's got a tremendous message for folks. And Bill, I tell you, it's a timely message, I think, for people to be able to be proactive and get more interested in their health, especially at times like this. And eating right is the beginning point of all good nutrition, is the beginning of all good health, isn't it, brother?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That's so true. I'm really looking forward to hearing the things Ted is going to tell us today, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Would you be so kind as to welcome to the show, please, sir?
Sure. Yeah. Dr. Ted Groner is our guest today. We're going to be talking about dentistry. And, it's fascinating, because I want to start it right out, Ted, and just talk to the emotional side of dentistry for the patients. That must be a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Well, they're obviously, with any type of surgery, there's always fear involved, mm-hmm. no matter whether it's medical or it's dental surgery. Mm-hmm. As an oral surgeon, obviously that's everything I do. So everybody I expect is going to be nervous. So yeah. There's a lot of different ways to approach that. Number one is probably just getting to know your patient before you do anything, just to be able mm-hmm. to commiserate and explain things, since most people are fearful because they don't understand what's going to happen more than anything else. So the more you can educate a person as to what's going to happen mm-hmm. and what they can expect, then the better off you are. But the other is I do a lot of general anesthesia, and I've got several stories about general anesthesia to share, but I just want to start out with the fact that people fear going to sleep as well. And honestly, it's your friend. Now, obviously you want to see someone who is skilled at doing it. And an oral surgeon gets months and months of training in their oral surgery residency, training in the operating room with anesthesiologists to do general anesthesia. So they're not only do they have that training in the operating room, in my program, we had our own operating rooms in a different part of the hospital where we put our oral surgery patients asleep. So when I finished my program, I had hundreds of cases behind my belt of doing general anesthesia. So when it's done well, it can be so much of a help to patients who are nervous about what they're going to have, because some people just aren't going to accept that it's not going to be a big deal. There's always going to be that small number. There's going to be others where the procedure might be a difficult one. They might not know it, but I, as the surgeon, know that it's not going to be an easy one. And I need them to trust me in believing that, since I've been there before. So going to sleep is your friend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, you were talking on the TV show there about how you like to help people, especially mothers with their children, to be proactive, become educated, and that solves a whole lot of problems. Would you share that with the audience, please, sir?
Yeah, specifically what I'm referring to is teens and wisdom teeth. Now, most people choose not to worry about it until it becomes a problem. And when someone's wisdom teeth is giving them trouble, usually the first thing that's happening is the sterile environment that wisdom tooth was in has sort of broken through. The tooth is starting to break into the mouth and is now bathed by the cesspool of bacteria in the mouth, and the gum's getting infected. Mm. So once that gum gets infected, you've already doubled the length of time that your teen is going to be uncomfortable from beginning to end, because they need a week to get rid of the infection. So that's the first week that they're uncomfortable. And then after the antibiotics have cleared the infection, then you're doing the surgery, whether it's a convenient time or not, because you don't want that infection to come back. So that's 2 weeks. If you can remove the wisdom tooth before the infection, you cut in half the length of time they're going to be uncomfortable, because you're not having to deal with the pain of infection beforehand. There's several other factors, and let me start out by how I got into this being a topic of interest, because when I was a 19-year-old college student, I knew nothing about wisdom teeth. You know, I started developing a swelling and a pain of the gum around the back area and found out it was a wisdom tooth, and went through the process of getting that one wisdom tooth out. You know, I went to the oral surgeon. I chose to do it awake with local anesthesia. I didn't want to go to sleep. I had to spend the week on antibiotics to get rid of the infection, then do it. And I come to have the procedure, and it was 45 minutes of not a lot of fun. Let's put it that way. Mm. And the reason for it is because even at 19, the bone had hardened to that of what it is as an adult. So it's like taking a fence post out of dry, hard dirt versus taking a fence post out of rain-soaked dirt that's much, much softer. That's the difference between 15 and 19. The second thing is the roots had a chance to fully grow. So they're full length, and you got a longer fence post to get out of that dry dirt than I would have at 15 with a shorter fence post and softer dirt. Is that painting a picture for you?
It really is. And, I was going to ask you too, as you're explaining that, are there any telltale signs that people should watch for, other than, you know, obviously having swelling and pain, but I mean, leading up to, hey, I need to address this now, or is it just kind of sneak up on you? How does that work?
Basically, it's the parents being proactive with their teen in getting them into the oral surgeon to get a panoramic x-ray to see how much those wisdom teeth have grown. Because the real ideal time to remove them is before the roots finish growing and before the bone hardens. So generally, if I can get an x-ray, and this will depend on how early their teeth came in. If their teeth came in late, then you may want to wait until 16 or 17. If they came in early, I'd start at 15 to get that panoramic x-ray. Because I've seen the roots of wisdom teeth fully grown at 15. I've seen 19-year-olds where the roots haven't quite started. So at least a starting x-ray gives you an idea as to when to approach it. The key is to do it before the roots finish growing. And if you can do it in the earlier part of the teens rather than the later part, then you take advantage of the soft bone. Mm-hmm. That's the special opportunity that teens have that they will never have again.
And you really came up with a special technique based on your experience and how you approach and treat patients and all that. And would you share a little bit of that? We got about 2.5 minutes left.
There's a couple things. One, when I do the surgery, I try to take more time to do it because when a dental implant is placed, you have to use a drill at lower speeds to keep the bone cool. Well, then why shouldn't that same thing apply to removing bone around an impacted tooth? Keep mm-hmm. that bone cool so that the recovery is going to be much more comfortable for the patient by your having taken that extra time. There's actually two other things that are going to take more time. One is the anesthesia. Mm-hmm. The other is going to be using blood products that we draw from the patient themselves that mm-hmm. where we spin out extra platelets. Mm-hmm. Platelets are the blood cells involved with starting the clotting process, but they also trigger the healing process. So by gaming the system and putting in some extra platelets after the teeth are removed, not only does it help speed the healing of the gum tissue, but it mm-hmm. also, we found it decreases pain. And a lot of people don't want their kids on narcotics. And if we can reduce the length of time they're on them, they're so much happier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because anytime you're putting something, you know, additional in your body, that's something else your body's got to deal with. Right. And Bill, I tell you right now, I did not know all the information that Ted shared with us because I was very ignorant of the wisdom tooth and the problems. I mean, I knew they could create problems, but I didn't realize there was a way to be proactive. I thought it was always just when you have pain, then you go to the dentist, you know, for that thing, you know. How about you?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm pulling the oar on the other side of the boat with you on that one. I had no idea at all. I think when we come back, what I'd like to hear are some of those interesting things that Ted thinks should be shared with people about the dentist. We'll be back in just a moment.
SpeakersPathway.com is the proud sponsor of Your Future Is Now, a show dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the vision and mission of Speakers Pathway. Dr. Sony Jackson's expertise is on the art of marketing while cultivating a long-term customer relationship in your business world. Do you know what to say or how to deliver your message to complete strangers? If so, Sony can help you. Tamara Hunter is a cancer survivor and works with people to focus their message or mission to the audience they want to reach. Do you feel called to create a movement to make the world a better place? If so, Tamara can help you. For additional information from any of our executive training directors, go to speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Next door to someone with a dog that barks all the time? As I'm writing this, my neighbor's dog has been barking nonstop for over an hour now. Studies show 1/3 of dog owners own at least one nuisance barker. Doesn't it enter their minds that neighbors have been subjected to their dog barking all day? What's a word for a person like me who's a chronic complainer? A mizzler. Dogs that are most likely to be nuisance barkers are from the herding breeds such as Collies, German Shepherds, and Kelpies. Barking may be caused by separation anxiety or perceived threats in the environment. What's a word for the act of barking? Latration. Why is it dogs don't like it when you blow in their face, but love to stick their head out the window when they ride in a car? It's marching down. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're visiting with Dr. Ted Groener, and he's sharing some great information about wisdom teeth, how you can reduce your pain and increase your recovery time being proactive rather than reactive. And Bill and I both, I mean, I had him on the TV show, The Message of Inspiration and Hope on e360tv.com. But when he shared his information with the audience there, I said, we've got to bring him to share his information on the radio show, because your health starts with good nutrition. And if you got a tooth problem or a toothache, you're not going to be eating very well. And Bill, I tell you right now, he's really opened our eyes to a few things, hasn't he, brother?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I know earlier, Ted, you were talking about when you were 19 and the incident you had with a wisdom tooth. But go into a little bit more. What led you to this profession? What was the
good question? After having been through a bad experience in within oral surgery, here I am one. Glutton for punishment. Initially, I was interested in medicine, but quite honestly, oral surgery represents a good mix of medicine and dentistry. So I'm not spending a lot of time writing prescriptions for patients mm-hmm. who are sick. I would probably not enjoy that. The things I enjoy about oral surgery is I enjoy the anesthesia aspect, and I enjoyed the major surgery when I was doing it, because they train us to do surgery on the jaws. You know, an oral surgeon is trained to split and to move the jaws to fix imbalances in the size of the jaws. So you've seen someone whose lower jaw juts out in front of their upper jaw. Well, we can do a surgery where we can split the lower jaw, take it back part of the way, and split the upper jaw, move it forward, and bring them together, so that you can bring the teeth together, and you're solving a problem that you can't do just by moving the teeth, because the teeth will only move so far. That same surgery on both the upper and lower jaw, when I was still in the reserves, the surgeon at the local base was doing that surgery for patients with severe sleep apnea. And the reason that helped, in a different direction, the lower jaw, instead of being put back, it was brought forward. By bringing the lower jaw forward, it brings the base of the tongue forward and opens the airway so that the narrowing of the airway is corrected. When you bring the lower jaw forward, you got to bring the upper jaw forward, or they look like they have a protruding lower jaw. So you got to balance it out. So yeah, it's a big surgery, but there are people that they're not going to get it corrected any other way, because these people had failed using CPAP machines at night. They either couldn't wear them, or they just weren't doing the trick. And the only thing that was going to fix them was to be able to bring that base of tongue forward with the oral surgery procedure. So it's kind of interesting.
What percentage of the population has that problem, Ted?
I think sleep apnea is much more common than we realize. I don't treat it, but I mean, all you have to do is talk to your friends and ask them or ask their spouses if your friends snore at night. And you're not going to have to ask too many people. And part of what I do when I'm evaluating a patient to go to sleep is I'm looking at their airway. I have them open their mouth and see how much of the throat I can see. If that tongue is blocking the entire view of the throat, I know that person not only snores at night, they might even have sleep apnea. Wow. So that's when I start questioning, to find out if their spouse complains about it. Do they stop breathing for periods of time at night? And sometimes when we have patients asleep, we're the first ones to tell them when they wake up, hey, boy, you need to get to a sleep specialist and have an overnight sleep study to find out if you have sleep apnea and how severe it is. Because sleep apnea can affect the quality of your life. You know, over the long term, your heart health is going to suffer, because you're not oxygenating your body the way you need. I'm going to say one more thing about oxygenation. When we sleep, if we're snoring or if we stop breathing, our oxygen saturation of the blood drops. When I went to a course and they put, you've seen these little pulse oximeters on TV that, you know, in surgeries where they measure how saturated your blood is with oxygen. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, in room air, it's 98, 99%. They asked us to hold our breaths and to see how low we could drop that oxygen saturation. And I tried as hard as I could, and I could barely get it down to 90. Patients who have sleep apnea will routinely drop into the low 80s, if not the upper 70s, because wow. They stop breathing for that long. And so you can understand why that oxygen debt is such a problem for them over the years.
Oh, my goodness. That affects the brain, everything. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, if you wonder why you're having a hard time remembering things, well, you know, if you're not oxygenating it, and the brain is one of the number one target organs that uses oxygen because it's all nerves. It needs oxygen.
So. Wow. I did not realize that, Ted. I really didn't. And that just, that's one of those wow moments, you know, because I remember when you were talking about people snoring, being in the military, I've been around some snorers, and there was one guy in particular. Oh, my goodness gracious. I felt sorry for him at first because he said his wife just told him she couldn't live with him anymore. And I thought, well, that's a horrible thing. I was real sorry to hear that. And we go to summer camp and he starts snoring and oh my goodness gracious. It sounded like somebody cranked up a chainsaw in the middle of the night. I'm going, like,
yeah. Do you want to know why that happens? You know, when I look in somebody's mouth and they've got a wide open airway, you know, they've got more room for air to go in and out. So it doesn't vibrate that soft palate. You know, when you look in your mouth, you see the little thing hanging down at the top. That's your soft palate and uvula. Uh-huh. But if I look in someone's mouth and I cannot see even an iota of the throat, I know that the airway will be so much more narrow that the same amount of air has to go in faster and come out faster. And that's what puts a pull on the soft palate in the back of their mouth and causes the vibration and the snoring sound. So that snoring sound tells you that your airway is compromised just right off the bat.
Wow.
Now they used to suggest surgery on that soft palate, but that wasn't really where the problem was. The bigger problem was not only that area, but it's the base of the tongue. And that's why I mentioned earlier that the surgeons will bring the lower jaw forward just to bring that base of tongue forward to open up the airway.
That's amazing. I didn't even know they could do that with the surgery with the jaws, you know, moving the lower jaw back and the upper jaw forward a little bit. That was, man, how painful is that for a patient, for example? I know it would probably vary case by case, but what would you tell someone if they asked you, how much is this going to hurt?
Well, it surprisingly, the jaw bone surgery is not as uncomfortable as the surgery that was done a while back on the soft palate to open it up using laser. Because that when you try to laze away some of that long soft palate to kind of open up the airway a bit, that tissue is super, super sensitive. And those people are in agony. The people who have the lower jaws brought forward, it's not near as bad, quite honestly.
Bill, I had no idea about that. How about you, brother?
Yeah, I'm just kind of along for the ride today. It's really fascinating, fascinating information. What about if someone wanted to get a hold of you? How would they do that?
Well, our phone number is 813-972-3478. I have two websites. One, the main one is Grellner, GRELLNERDDS, as in dental, .com, GrellnerDDS.com. And the second website is TampaWisdomTeeth.com, which is a single page dealing with wisdom teeth, because that is the bigger part of my practice, is because I feel like I can offer things to patients regarding their wisdom teeth that are not often addressed.
So obviously you're in the Tampa area,
right?
So if someone in a different part of the country or the world is listening to this and they wanted more information, what would you tell them to do?
Well, obviously looking at the website is important, so they know they know what our thing is about, what we do and what we don't do. But the other is they can email us at info@grellnerdds.com, or they're welcome to use my my office email of tg@grellnerdds.com. And if it looks like it's something that would be worth getting together to speak about, I can do a Zoom call with them and find out what's going on, or at least a phone call. And if it comes to doing wisdom teeth, they like what we do that's different than others. If they can send us a digital panoramic X-ray, you know, the one that comes on a flash drive rather than a film, then I can put that up on the screen and go over that with the parent or patient. And we can have a much more intelligent conversation by Zoom when I can share the screen going over what I see on their X-ray. Of course, I'm not practicing medicine in their state. Basically, I'm giving them what I see on their X-ray. And then, you know, the true patient relationship starts when they come here. So certainly, I think there's a great opportunity if they want to take advantage of the warm weather in Tampa and maybe take a week off, do the surgery, takes a few days to recover, maybe go to the beach while they're recovering, let me see them before they leave, and be able to enjoy their time recovering.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, the websites and email address, that will be in the description of the show. And that's really a nice opportunity that you've offered people to be able to get, you know, a digital panoramic X-ray to you by flash drive, and that way you can have a very intelligent conversation with them. Plus, they'll be much more informed to speak with their local oral surgeon or whoever they want to talk to, right?
Well, even better, they can have their dentist email that X-ray, and then they don't have to worry about snail mail.
Okay, great. We're about ready to go to break, and we'll be back with Dr. Ted Groener right after this brief message from our sponsors.
This show, Your Future Is Now, is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com. And just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people to find their future. Is fear holding you back from your calling or your life mission? Do you struggle with taking that first step? If so, Bill Henrich is our catalyst to help you create perspectives with new possibilities that will bring you more peace, more joy, more love in your life and freedom. Do you struggle trying to build your strategy? Do you know how to reach your end results? If not, Gigi Ames is your expert in strategy and helping you create your step-by-step game plan to reach your finish line. For more information on creating the life you want to live, reach out to Bill Henrich. Or if Gigi Ames can help you with building your strategy with your end goal in sight, go to SpeakersPathway.com. That is SpeakersPathway.com.
It's words you never heard.
We have a book titled The Art of Doing Nothing by Veronica Bien in our guest room by the bed. I'm telling you, this book is an impossible challenge. In the state of Maine, it's said that someone who bottoms chairs for a living is lazy, presumably because one's bottom is perpetually in the chair. To sozzle means to laze around or perform a task in a sloppy way. The word is mainly found in New England. A quote from 1848 describes the term as used by housekeepers in certain parts of Connecticut to refer to a lazy person. Other words for lazy people are abbey lubbers, scabberlatchers, and slaughter pooches. To me, the ultimate loblolly is someone who is too lazy to even fake like they're working.
It's words you never heard.
I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Word.
And welcome back to Your Future Is Now. We are sponsored by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. And the 6-Minute Webinar, oh my goodness gracious, if you're an entrepreneur and you want to get your message to your ideal client, the 6-Minute Webinar is not only a necessity, it's the only thing that you need to be able to get a clear message across to your clients, to your ideal clients, on who you are, what you do, and most importantly, what you can do for them. And I'm honored not only to have Mr. Bill Heinrich here as the honorary host of the Toganet Radio, but also he is the co-creator and one of the founders of the 6-Minute Webinar. Mr. Bill, would you share a little bit about that, sir?
I'd be happy to, Jim. In fact, we're having a boot camp January 30th. It's a 3-hour boot camp, which takes people through how to write a webinar, the 6-Minute Webinar. And it's the boot camps have been phenomenally successful. But the greatest thing, Jim, is we have our new friend, Script Pal, who actually writes the script for people. They just have to answer some questions. And we have updated and improved that immensely since the last boot camp we did in December. So it's going to be very, very exciting. And at the boot camp, Jim, because it's the end of 2020 and it's a new year, the boot camp is worth, the retail value is $300, and it's normally $99 to attend. And you can attend this one for $20.21. $20.21.
Wow.
We want to get some people there and give them a jump on the new year. The experience that they have going through and the clarity that they get and what they want to talk about is really astounding. Ted, you did a 6-minute webinar, didn't you?
I did. And what I was going to add to what you say is that it really makes you whittle down the information to the most important that you're trying to get across. I mean, people have less and less time to pay attention, you know, to webinars. I mean, the 60-minute webinars is no longer...
They're antiquated, yeah.
Right. And if you can get across the most important information in 6 minutes, you've not only saved time for your patient or your prospect, but you've also gotten all the information you needed to get to them without losing them. And they may understand it because most people don't really take everything you throw at them. You know, there's a limited amount that they retain.
Yeah. Would you agree that the most valuable part of the boot camp, Ted, wasn't the creating a 6-minute webinar, it was the clarity you got about your business and niche. Would you agree with that?
Well, it was the clarity, but it was also seeing the work that you and Don were doing with other people that were trying to get their message across and seeing how you tailored their message and you helped them with their message. That's a learning experience in and of itself.
Oh, that's a real learning experience. It is, because you want to use, you know, the 6-minute webinar is engineered in such a unique way. It's a totally new technology.
Right.
And so anyway, we're doing a boot camp on January 30th. Go to 6minutewebinar.com. And you can register. And if you have any questions, you can email me, Bill, B-I-L-L, at 6minutewebinar.com, S-I-X, minutewebinar.com. Sorry, Jim, we kind of got...
That's okay. No.
I remember that Ted had come, and it's so fascinating because the people that attend they're attending because they're like, oh, that'd be cool to have a 6-minute webinar, but they learn so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's really fascinating.
I've got to say one more thing about the 6-minute webinar. And ladies and gentlemen, in the first sentence, your ideal client will know whether or not they want to listen to you or not. For example, during this 6-minute webinar, I will show you 3 great ways to lose weight. Boom. So therefore, if someone's interested in losing weight, they're going to say, 6 minutes, tell me more. If they're not interested in losing weight, you know, you haven't wasted your time. That's one thing that just reaches out and just grabs me right out of the gate.
It's true.
I'm also, redoing my website, my own True Life Purpose Now website for my business coaching. And what the first thing I'm doing is doing a 6-minute webinar on each page, because it's going to give me the clarity, the content, everything I need to put on that page.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's it. I'll be, and I'll record the webinar, but I'll also have the written content on the page. It's really amazing at getting your clarity. But anyways, let's get back to Ted.
Let's get back to pulling some teeth here now.
don't get me talking about this webinar, whatever you do. Because I could go on and on about it. It's pretty exciting. But it's really exciting what you're doing. And one question I have, Ted, because this show goes all over the world. If somebody's in a place, maybe they can't contact you or they certainly can't come in and see you, what would you suggest for them to do? Whether they're in a different part of this country or a different country, and they wanted to get more information because they have some issues associated with what you've been speaking about today.
I mean, if they're wanting to seek help from me, then obviously sending an email is an important start. I'd also want to know that they have been to their own providers, their general dentist or an oral surgeon, just so they have some basic information. And, if there's something that I offer they don't, then obviously they're going to understand more why what I'm doing is different than what they've been exposed to. So that helps with understanding. But with the internet being what it is, I mean, it's a perfect way to get information, and visual information is super important when it comes to what I do. And that's why when we can transfer x-rays by email, it's super great. Or even if I get somebody on a Zoom call and I have their x-ray and I can put it up on my screen and share it with them, I get a chance to point out things to them that, we couldn't do over the phone. How do you describe these things over the phone? It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a world we live in, huh?
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Bill?
Pretty amazing. Yeah, well, I was also, if somebody is just realizing, they're hearing this and they're going, wow, that must be what's going on with me. Where would they start in their local region? You said they should go to a dentist or an oral surgeon prior to speaking to you. What would you suggest?
Well, it depends on what the problem is, because oral surgery is rather broad. If it comes to wisdom teeth, I mean, that's my thing, and I definitely can help them there. If it comes to dental implants, where they're going to need multiple visits after the implant's placed, sometimes that's better done in their local area where they can have frequent follow-ups. And when it comes to coming to my office for wisdom teeth, obviously, follow-up is an issue because they're not in the area, but most times that follow-up isn't that necessary. You get the first week follow-up, and most times that's it. It doesn't require multiple visits. But if you're doing something like an implant where you've got to do grafting of the socket and you've got to have that followed, and then you're doing the implant, they're not going to be making multiple visits to me for that. When it comes to doing major surgery of the jaws upper and lower, I honestly don't do those any longer. Most of everything I do is in the office, but I mention those procedures so that you know that they're available. And there are surgeons who have active hospital practices that do those things. I can certainly answer some questions, but I'm going to limit what I do pretty much to wisdom teeth and dental implants. And I even limit some of what I do with implants, because there's some who can place multiple implants in the upper and lower jaw and have the dentures placed at the same time in one day. And that's a lot of work. And I don't do that.
Yeah. Also, too, on the TV show, you talked about the importance of you came across you developed your very own, and we're getting ready. We're about 3 minutes away from commercial, but we're going to definitely hit this on the way back. But you're going to talk about anesthesia and the techniques that you use. Just give us a overview of it, and we'll come back and discuss it more after the commercial.
Okay. The type of anesthesia oral surgeons do is mostly IV. It involves a medicine to relax you, Versed or Valium. A narcotic might be fentanyl, and it involves a sleep drug. So those are the three main ones. the difference of what I do versus the traditional anesthetic for many, many years, oral surgeons would use a narcotic, either Demerol or fentanyl, where these drugs last an hour once they're put in the IV. And you have to estimate how much of that narcotic to use, because whatever you put in, it's like taking a pill. That's what you're stuck with for your procedure. Mm-hmm. What I saw advantages in were an ultra short acting narcotic called remifentanil. That narcotic, when the pump that gives it is turned off, that narcotic is gone in 6 to 8 minutes. Hmm. So the procedure is using a surgical pump that you're doing a continuous infusion of this short acting narcotic, and you can taper that as you go. You can increase it if the patient needs it. You can decrease it, which you can't do any other way with a narcotic. And then you can actually turn it off just before you're done, so that the patient is recovering within minutes of the end of the surgery, not worrying about how that narcotic that's left over, like fentanyl, let's say your surgery lasts 30 minutes, the narcotic lasts an hour. You have 30 minutes of that narcotic that still has to wear off. And that's where most of the confusion, the nausea, that comes from waking up from anesthesia. It's from that narcotic.
Wow. That's really important for your patients. And I know I've been put under a couple of times, and having that stuff wear off, it's not fun. It really isn't. And
right. Well, in the hospital, when they put you to sleep with a gas, that always is going to cause some nausea unless they give you something to prevent it. I don't use a gas in my office. I depend on the sleep medicine and the narcotics, and I can control those very, very well. So it's really cool to not. I got rid of my recovery room years ago, and I haven't seen a case of patient being nauseated in many years. I mean, I can't even remember the last time. And that to me, if somebody gets sick, sorry. Come out of the room.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to hear more about this, Jim. When we come back for break, we're going to head to a break. We'll be back in a few minutes talking with Dr. Ted Grellner.
Your Future Is Now is sponsored by SpeakersPathway.com, and just like the show, we are dedicated and aligned in perfect harmony with the same vision and mission of helping people define their future. You may have heard that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, a video is worth 1,000 pictures. Koji Somaldi says, if you're not using video in 2019, you're going to get left behind. Most people feel lost or confused when it comes to marketing. Preston Martelli is a marketing guru whose strategies are both art and science in growing your business. Preston helps you make the right decisions that are predictable, measurable, and scalable. For additional information about Koji, Preston, or any of our executive training directors, go to our website at speakerspathway.com. That is speakerspathway.com.
Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lipman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With Baby and Toddler Instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on toginet.com.
And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be finishing up this hour talking with Dr. Ted Groener. And our show is sponsored by the good guys at the 6MinuteWebinar.com. That's SIXMinuteWebinar.com. Mr. Bill shared with us some information from the last break about the upcoming workshop, the boot camp. Just go to 6MinuteWebinar.com and be sure and check it out. Take a look at what the 6-Minute Webinar can do for you. And we were talking during the break, you know, how different dentists can really make a difference in your life if you find a good one. And I've had that opportunity, and it was just really, I didn't dread going there or anything like that because of the, I knew the type of treatment I was going to get and with, you know, with care and things of this nature. And Mr. Bill, I'm sure you probably appreciate having a good dentist in your life, and you probably have had a, you know, experience like I was sharing. May, hopefully not, but I don't know. I'll let you share that with us.
Well, actually, the answer to that is yes. And I really, really liked what Ted was talking about earlier and wanted to bounce back to this. So I'm glad that you headed in this direction. And that is communication with the patient, because
yes,
Ted addressed that earlier. Why don't you talk a little bit more about that, Ted, how people can create better communication with their dentist and what questions to ask and
what they should. It's a little bit of a two-edged sword with the internet, because when people do research on the internet, a lot of times they're going to get misinformation, and it makes them even more nervous going to their dentist to ask questions. But on the other hand, there's also good information, and it informs them as to what it is they're asking for. And sometimes you don't know what somebody's trying to ask for. You know, they've seen something, they know what it is, but they can't describe it, or even worse, if somebody comes in that has no knowledge of dentistry whatsoever, and they think that you're going to put in an implant with a tooth on top of it the day they came in. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But certainly education is an important part. You know, the more that I can explain to someone what's happening, what they can expect, what type of anesthesia they might want to have when they're having this procedure, and how much time they may need to take off, then there's going to be a better chance that this is going to work into their interrupting their life to get it done, and much better than if they're going into it blindly.
Oh yeah, because my goodness, because you go in there blindly, I mean, your nerves can get out of control. You can get kind of scared or worried or jump to conclusions, and it's in life I've found dreading something is usually 100% of the time in my life worse than going through it and facing it, whatever it might be, either physical or mental or whatever you're faced with.
Well, that's true. I mean, I've always felt that the anesthesia, if I'm going to be putting a patient to sleep, their anesthesia starts almost with the consultation, because I want to be able to eliminate as many concerns as they have while I'm speaking to them before they come back for the surgery. So the more relaxed they are when they come back the second time, the easier the anesthetic's going to be, because they're not all hyped up on misinformation.
Mm. Yeah, you get revved up on the inside. That just really works against everything, doesn't it, brother?
It does. It actually causes us to have to give them much more medication to get them to sleep than if they were relaxed. Now, I'm not trying to say that someone's going to come in just as calm as a cucumber. You know, there's always going to be a certain amount of anxiety, and we expect that. Sure. It's the person who has allowed their anxiety to overtake their logic and their reason that they're so scared that they don't want to go to sleep. Mm. And that makes a real problem. But yet, on the other hand, if they choose not to go to sleep and to try to do it with local anesthesia, you know they're not going to enjoy that. You know, if they're afraid of going to sleep, they're probably going to be even more afraid of the procedure itself. I've found that to be more and more true. And one of the benefits to going to sleep is that once the procedure's over, they didn't know what happened during that procedure, but more important, they don't carry a bad memory of that procedure for the rest of their life. Because, you know, just as you were telling me about a visit with a dentist when you were younger, and you remember that experience to this date, I remember having my one wisdom tooth taken out at 19, 40 years later. there's value in not having to carry that memory forward for the rest of your life, because that makes your routine dental visits that much harder.
You're exactly right, because those things, when they scar your mind like that, you carry it with you. You really do.
You do.
And I like what Bill teaches a lot about getting clarity in the mind and all that, and getting out of the physical. And, you know, he's all about, you know, getting into the abundance of love and things like that, because so many times when we're stuck in that physical frame of mind, that's our worst enemy. It really is. It robs us of everything in life that we really desire, which is a good life. And try to reduce the stress and worry in your life, because my goodness, all that does is just complicate everything that you're going to, you know, face in your life.
It does. Yeah, very much. It actually activates the fight flight portion of your nervous system, which you cannot logically control. So if you can take away that memory of fear, that's not going to be activated near as much.
Absolutely. And Bill, I've got to give your plug for your book there. You know, The 7 Levels of Truth, you can find it on Amazon. And Bill is a master at getting clarity in your mind, because that affects all areas of your life. Not only as being an entrepreneur, but your personal life, your happiness, the joy and the jubilee that you're so richly entitled to have in this life. And 7 Levels of Truth, you can get it at Amazon. He also has a free ebook. It's called Clarity Has No Story. Just go to myfreebook.me, myfreebook.me. M as in Mike, E as in Echo, and that thing will be sent right to your inbox, and is a gift from Mr. Bill. So please take advantage of that, and please share that with others, because everybody needs clarity in their life. And I know Bill would agree with that, wouldn't you, brother?
Well, you know, I didn't always describe myself that way, Jim. Mm-hmm. I was in a group a couple of weeks ago. They were talking about who we were, you know, and I said, I'm a master of clarity. Because even as Ted is speaking here, what everybody's looking for, what Ted is looking for, are those panoramic x-rays so that he can get clarity about what's exactly going on. Right, Ted? It's all about just getting more clarity, because when you have clarity, then you can make powerful choices.
Correct.
And the more, everything's a search for clarity, even for the people who are having difficulties now. They're trying to get clarity. And so the points that Ted is making about anesthesia and the way he works and why he specializes on wisdom teeth, he's digging into deeper and deeper clarity in that area, and is able to provide a level of service that not many others can match because of his specialty. Right, Ted? Is that correct?
That's correct. Having had the poor experience I did as a college student, over the past 30 years, I looked back to see what I had done, and I realized why I had concentrated on the areas that I did in oral surgery, because it all went back to my experience as a teenager. And I improved every aspect, you know, from the timing of getting the wisdom teeth out before the roots finish growing, getting them out before the bone hardens, and that's got to be before 20, creating an anesthetic technique where they recover in the chair. They don't go home with active narcotic on board. They're having a conversation with me after they wake up that we had going before they went to sleep. You can't do that with longer acting medications. Looking at the improvements in being able to utilize the blood products that we can draw from our own blood to take advantage of those things, like I said earlier, to game the system, you know, to reduce the amount of narcotic that has to be used. When I first started in practice, all we had was narcotic for pain relief afterwards, and routinely everyone was sick on them. Now that's not the case. I'm doing everything I can to reduce the amount of narcotic that a patient has to take, if any at all. And that's my goal, is I would like to get to a point where they're not having to take any narcotics for pain relief afterwards. But it all starts with timing. You know, the true ideal time for wisdom teeth is before the roots have finished growing, in the teens, somewhere in the teens, and it depends on the patient. that's where the parents can do so much more for the kids by being proactive.
Exactly right, because taking them in and getting a panoramic x-ray, I mean, number one, that only takes a very short time, and you got a true clear picture of the condition of that tooth, and you can be, like you say, proactive rather than reactive, because when you're reactive with the tooth problem, that just complicates things. It makes you suffer more pain, more recovery time, all of that. Isn't that right, Ted?
It's true. Actually, there's one more point. The panoramic x-ray is fine for teens where the roots haven't finished growing. Mm-hmm. But understand that the space that the wisdom tooth root grows is much more limited than it is forward, more forward in the jaw. So once those roots are finished growing, they may look like they're shorter than the tooth in front, but those roots may have curled off to the side, and you can't appreciate that on a panoramic x-ray. So when someone comes in and their teeth are fully formed, I'm going to have to also have a CT so I can look in different planes. I want three-dimensional information, clarity, as Bill was saying, to know exactly what we're going after. Because it's not uncommon to see the root of a wisdom tooth bent like a football player taking a knee on the football field. Yeah. The root actually being bent 90 degrees, laying right on top of the jaw nerve. That's a much more difficult situation than a teenager where the root is half formed and the end of the root is soft. So the risk of the surgery itself is much, much less than after the root has finished growing.
That makes a lot of sense. Because I remember you showed us a picture, excuse me, a picture of a one that get flared out like that and go, holy smokes, that's got to be painful.
Well, it certainly is afterwards, because imagine if you were taking a fence post out that had three legs out of the dirt.
Right.
How much harder that is than if it's a single fence post.
Oh, yeah. That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy. We got about 30 seconds left. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in today. And Mr. Bill, I tell you right now, this has been an eye-opening experience and a jaw-opening experience, because a couple of times I went, wow, I don't know about you.
I agree completely, Jim. Thank you very much for joining us today, Ted.
I appreciate it.
It's been a great show. And we'll be seeing everybody next week on our next show.